In the week between Christmas and New Year's, we took a brief trip back to my childhood home in Massachusetts to visit my family and share Christmas celebrations with them. I grew up in a quiet corner in the western suburbs of Boston, and across the road from our home, there is a small stretch of the Charles River. Like the famed Boston Marathon, the Charles starts in Hopkinton and winds its way through the countryside into downtown before spilling out into the Boston Harbor after a journey of over 80 miles. It's not a big river, nothing compared to the James or the Elizabeth or the Lynn Haven or any of those, but I grew up walking my dogs along its banks almost every day, occasionally taking a paddle in an old canoe that we had. The park near my house was a pretty ordinary stretch of river, never more than 30 yards across. The water levels might rise and fall with the rain. We'd get some ducks or the occasional turtle, but by and large, not much happened there. It was a quiet, placid, steady scene over the years, one of those places in life that takes on meaning because of the regularity with which you come to know it, not by any distinguishing features of its own. Anyway, it has been a rather wet winter up in New England thus far, so on this visit back home, the river was high. It was pushing its way up toward the path, overflowing its banks into the thin woods that border it on either side. But it was still quiet and peaceful after all these years, just a nice place to stroll, though this time with kids bounding over the roots and rocks rather than the dogs I had walked so many times before. Not terribly different, but... However, on this visit home, we did something we don't usually do. Looking for activities to entertain the boys, we decided one day to drive a couple miles downriver to the next town over, where there is a set of falls, to see how things were faring. And here, we were treated to just the most terrific, mildly terrifying sight. The swollen river, which had passed so peacefully by my house just a couple miles back, was transformed into this thunderous cataract of churned up water and foam, racing and ripping and rolling and raging along. It was so loud you couldn't hear yourself think. You had to shout over the top of it just to be heard. We stood there for a long time, just watching the water drop and crash and swerve and surge along, pummeling the rocks and slamming the trees, stripping them of their bark, causing them to shudder and to sway with each impact. It was awesome. And as I stood on the bridge overlooking these raging rapids, I thought, could this be the same river? The quiet waterway that lazily wound its way by my house. And sure enough, I turned and looked back upriver and beheld that same placid, peaceful scene, almost still enough to be a painting. And yet here, right below my feet, there was this massive explosion of all this pent-up potential energy that was held within it. I mean, I could actually feel that energy radiating off the water. The force that was being unleashed, and when it was shocking just how much power it possessed. Maybe that's why, when I got back to my office this week and sat down at my desk with the readings in front of me to write, I was struck not just by the importance of the river as we mark the day of Jesus' baptism, but also by all the words and images of power and force that associate God and water together. It is there in the beginning, a formless, deep, liquid void of watery potential that has every ounce of what is needed to create the entire universe. A source of latent energy turned into light and life at the breath of the Creator. It is there in the psalm. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. And it is, we hear, a powerful voice, a voice of splendor. It breaks the cedar trees and splits the flames of fire. It shakes the wilderness and makes the oak trees writhe. It strips the forests bare. Those words sounded new in my ears while the echoes of that waterfall were still ringing in my mind. A living example of what these authors were trying to conjure. A God whose power is so great that it can both create and destroy. I know, it's scary, but it is true. And then, of course, we get to the River Jordan, right? The big river of the day. And who knows how high and fast the water was running that day when Jesus came to be baptized by his cousin John. But I do not think it an accident that as he dips down into that flowing water and partakes of that energy, that strength, that when he comes up, the very heavens are torn apart. And the voice of God comes once again over the waters and pronounces, "You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased." From there, Jesus is unleashed. His public ministry begins, and the power and the energy that he brings to bear is a spiritual force which will reshape the whole world. These passages are prime examples of how the power of water is one of the best analogies we have to help us try and understand the power of God. And we have used that analogy from Genesis to the Psalmist to the Gospels and beyond to evoke those attributes of the Almighty that are important for us to appreciate. Beautiful, life-giving, familiar, and yet foreign, fascinating, yet fearsome, forceful and peaceful. We depend upon it, right? We can work with it, and yet we cannot ultimately control it. It holds both majesty and mystery. We do not exist without it. All of which is why the church has taken up this symbol of water as symbol for the power of God and made it foundational to Christian discipleship in the sacrament of baptism. But the way we have done it may have over-domesticated this elemental force. We have bottled it up in some very pretty bottles. But sometimes that may make us forget the sheer spiritual power and energy which it is meant to convey. Because while baptism is a rite that is often cute and sweet and peaceful, in truth, it is meant to be as thunderous as a massive waterfall. You will notice that as we move through the baptism in just a few minutes, that the language is dramatic. It speaks of cleansing of sins and of evil and of death and resurrection, evoking both the power of water to wash away and wear down, but also to create life. Baptism is channeling those kinds of spiritual forces. It is that intense because ultimately, baptism is about power. It's about the power of God to work in us and on us and through us. And it is about the latent spiritual power that is stored up in each of us, and about how that power can and should be used. Baptism reminds us that each of these children, that each of us, possesses, has been blessed in our creation with a portion of the same power, that same spirit and force and energy that called all things into being. Which means we have in us, they have in them, the power to shape and shift the world. That's one of the most exciting parts of baptism to me. Each time I hold one of these children, I can feel that latent potential radiating off of them. Who are they going to be? What are they going to do? How is the world going to be impacted and changed and shaped by them, through them? This is exciting to contemplate. But as with any form of power, there is a shadow side that lurks around the edges. For while we as humans have a power to channel God's goodness and love in the world in ways that will wonderfully reshape its landscape, that same power can also be used to hurt or destroy that which is in its path. That is why in baptism, as we take this elemental force of water, evoking the very power of God, we pair it with a full restatement of the fundamentals of our faith in the creed and the covenant. Those are the things that we hope will shape our lives and guide that energy we possess. They are the way that we seek to bring our power to bear in this world. That is why these vows and covenants we make are so important and so important to remember. And why in a moment, all of us will participate in restating them. Because each of us possesses a spiritual energy that when released can be awesome. Can be massively creative and life-giving and productive, but which also has the power to be destructive if misused. That is the threshold on which we live our life. That is the choice that we are given. It is the opportunity and the responsibility. The responsibility that we must navigate as beloved sons and daughters of God, wading through the waters of life, recalling and then claiming that power of the Almighty that runs through us like a river, just waiting to be unleashed. Amen. Amen.